He held out his right hand, palm up. He still held the piece of chalk. "Put that chalk down. I can't afford to break it." He passed the piece of chalk to his left hand and held out the right hand to me again. I brought the Westcott down into his palm. "You figure things out with your brains, not with your fingers," I told him.
"Yes, sir, Mr. Wiggins."
He turned back to the board and stared at the problem at least half a minute. It was cold in the back of the church, but standing 2 feet away from the boy, I could see that he was sweating. He raised his left hand up to his eyes to wipe away tears. Then he stared at the problem again. "Well, others have to work too, you know."
Yes, sir, Mr. Wiggins.
The back of his neck shone with sweat. He wiped his eyes again. Then he wrote down an answer, large, awkward, and, of course, incorrect. "You used enough chalk for 5 times that many problems," I told him. "Where do you think we're going to get more chalk when this runs out?" He didn't answer. "Well," I said,
"I don't know, Mr. Wiggins,"
he said, staring at the board, not daring to look at me. "I'd have to buy it," I said. "The school board doesn't give it away. They already gave me what they said was enough for the year. They're not giving us any more. Do you understand what I'm saying to you?"
Yes, Mr. Wiggins.
I jerked the piece of chalk out of his hand, corrected the problem, passed the piece of chalk on to another student, and walked away. On the sideboard, one of the girls, wearing a gray dress and a black sweater, unpolished brown loafers and unmatching brown stockings, her head a forest of half a dozen 2-inch plaits, had written a sentence of 6 words with a downward slant of nearly a foot. "And what is that supposed to be?" I asked her. She was so terrified by my voice that she jerked around to face me, then staggered back against the board.
This, she stuttered,
while gesturing toward the board with the piece of chalk.
That's a simple sentence, Mr. Wiggins."
"That's not a simple sentence," I told her. "That's a slanted sentence. A simple sentence is written on a straight line." I reached for the piece of chalk, but in her fear of me, she continued to hold on to it, and I had to pry it out of her hand. I drew 3 straight lines from one end of the board to the other. "Those are straight lines," I said. "Do you notice the difference?" She nodded her head while looking at me, not at the board. I erased the 3 lines as well as her slanted sentence. "I want you to write me 6 simple sentences in straight lines," I said, and handed her the chalk. "You have until the end of the period to do it. The rest of the class, take your seats." I left her standing there, trying to figure out where to begin. At the door, I turned back to look at the other classes. They all knew I was in a pretty rotten mood today, and they kept their heads down. I went out into the yard, slapping the Westcott ruler against my leg hard enough to sting it. The cool air felt good on my face, and after standing in the yard a while, I walked to the road. But there was nothing to see out there but a couple of automobiles, my gray Ford parked down the quarter in front of my aunt's house, and a car parked alongside the ditch farther up the quarter. Other than that, all there was to see were old gray weather-beaten houses, with smoke rising out of the chimneys and drifting across the corrugated tin roofs. Living and teaching on a plantation, you got to know the occupants of every house. And you knew who was home and who was not. I knew that the parents and the older brothers and sisters of the boy I had slashed on the butt with my ruler were out in the field, and that the old grandma, Aunt June, was at home cooking dinner for them to eat when they came in at noon. I could see the smoke rising from the kitchen chimney of the girl who stuttered, and I knew that she came from a family of 12, and that she had a pregnant older sister who was not allowed to come back to school, but had to work in the field with all the others, and that she had an idiot brother and a tyrant father, and that the father beat the pregnant girl and any other member of the family, including the mother, but would never touch the idiot whom he showered with love. I could look at the smoke rising from each chimney, or I could look at the rusted tin roof of each house, and I could tell the lives that went on in each one of them. I went all the way to the back of the yard, where I used the boys' toilet. Then I returned to my classes, but instead of coming in through the front door as I had left, I entered through the back. Most of the students remembered the mood I was in and had their heads in their books. But one first grader had forgotten or didn't care, and he found time to play with a bug on the sleeve of his sweater. As I watched from the back door, he let the insect crawl an inch or two from his elbow toward his hand. Then he picked it up and returned it up his arm to let it start all over again.